The Beat of Sports, Mark Daniels on this Monday. Scott Harris is back over there. Did you get all the gifts you wanted?
I did, yeah.
Oh.
Got a new sweater that I'm wearing right now.
How many theme park-related things did you get?
A good amount, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there something like, oh, my God, I never thought I'd get, and you're like, oh, wow.
Yes, actually, yeah. Oh.
You want to share what it was?
Or? So you know the ride at Disney's Hollywood Studios called Toy Story Midway Mania?
Okay.
They made a version of that game for the Nintendo Wii. And yeah. I got that.
Wow.
So now I can practice and get ready for the next time I go back there.
Does the game box say ages 3 and up?
I'll look when I get home, and I will get back to you as quickly as possible.
It's possible that it says that.
They come with 3D glasses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, like, really fun stuff, huh?
Cannot wait.
I sense got a picture from a theme park that I was at. It's a little bit of a, not a little bit, it's a family tradition mm-hmm. that my wife and I are clinging to as our daughters get older. But we've enjoyed going to SeaWorld every year right around Christmas. And
see the lights and...
Well, their Christmas section's fantastic, okay? I mean, the food and the desserts and everything, and just had a wonderful time. And we went there and were able to social distance. We're not going to go on rides, and you know, we saw one show. We were really just going to enjoy the Christmas area.
You didn't do Mako?
And saw the skating show and everything and fell asleep. But I sent, well, what was the picture that I sent you?
It's a person in a motorized wheelchair being pulled by a person in a motorized wheelchair.
And I said, in a way, Scott knows when I send those photos, like, if I get to that stage, that's mm-hmm. time to take the pillow and
yes, yes.
And put Papa to sleep full time. Because, yeah, yeah. That had, like, the full...
had everything,
the canopy over the motorized cart and everything. And, you know, by the way, that guy... Didn't have a horn on it,
mm-hmm.
so you know what he did? He was the, excuse me, like you're supposed to know that he's coming behind you guy. Yeah, so that was that guy. I tried to take video, but it didn't work out. I knew you would have liked that. So.
Yeah.
All right, quarterback, I was teasing before, and I brought this up with Mike in the bridge, and I say this almost every week in the NFL. It is a position that we all analyze the most, and the reality is there are many that do it for a living that still don't even know what they're doing, and I say that in the sense of it's impossible to identify and say will be a star, won't be a star, is going to develop, will not develop. There are different reasons for that. Great quarterbacks in college end up usually on the worst teams, and therefore their development is hindered because they play on bad teams and sometimes never get a chance to go on to have a successful career. Quarterbacks taken sometimes late first round, second round, although we did the numbers on this not that long ago, that there aren't many quarterbacks that are successful currently in the NFL that were not first round picks. But you will get quarterbacks that sometimes land in the right situation. They're not forced to start or brought into a place and develop and finally get an opportunity. And then you go, oh, well, look, they blew it on that body. And I don't mean Tom Brady. There are guys like Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was a good college quarterback. He wasn't a great college quarterback, but he was good. Russell Wilson wasn't a great college quarterback. He was good. But right situation, right time. But in the current era that we're in, and I don't mean just football era. I mean our need to evaluate everything in life instantly. At that moment, not like I'll give it some time. I mean, at that moment, good, bad, like it, don't like, all that stuff, we find ourselves grading everything. Every single week, every single possession, every single pass. It's what we do. And we have forums to do that. So, you know, I'll just put something on Twitter. That's the world that we're in. Quickly, 10 o'clock hour, WYJM Orlando, WJR HD2, Cocoa Beach, Orlando sports leader, Mark Daniels, the Beat of Sports. Let's take Tua's situation first. The Dolphins are playing a very important game against the Las Vegas Raiders, and Tua's not playing particularly well. And the Dolphins are in the football game, but it's not because of his play. If you take a look at his numbers, he's got 17 completions for 94 yards. That's not being able to move the football down the field. So Miami makes a change to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. He goes 19 of 13 for 182 yards and throws the pass with his helmet basically spinning his head around. That's caught to set the Dolphins up for a game-winning field goal. How we got to that opportunity is something for debate about John Gruden's decision to not get the touchdown, to force the Dolphins to go the length of the field, although if you need a touchdown, you truly have to go the length of the field. If you have one of the most accurate kickers like the Dolphins do, you got to get to about the 40, which they did, and then you know what happens. But we are measuring Tua versus who? Joe Burrow before he got hurt, Justin Herbert, and the season that he's had. And we do this on a weekly basis. Oh, let's compare the numbers. One guy is on a team that's headed to the playoffs, most likely. The other two, well, one's got an ACL that was on a bad team. The other led his team to victory yesterday and looks like he's going to be a really good quarterback. But each are in different situations. And in the NFL, backups are backups for different reasons, too. If you've got a veteran quarterback that you hope stays healthy for every significant snap, then your backup quarterback is likely not somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins' need for Ryan Fitzpatrick was far different than whoever the backup quarterback is in Kansas City and in Green Bay and in any place that you think the quarterback is pretty solidified. The Dolphins took a gamble by drafting Tua because of the injury that he had and knew that it wasn't let's throw him out there and see what happens. They weren't able to do that. While the Bengals and the Chargers made the decision, we're going to play the rookie. And, yes, the situation in San Diego happened because we had a needle and a punctured lung, but they made those decisions. And bringing Tua along meant, hey, we've got a guy that started games this year for us. It's a different situation. So Brian Flores makes the decision because at that moment, I'm going to need a change. Let me bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. By the way, it hasn't been used like five times this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick has come in relief twice. It was in a game against Denver, which Miami lost. He was 12 of 18. And the game against the Raiders, he was 9 of 13. It's not like it happened. It's not like calling Mariano Rivera to play the fourth quarter every single week. And it doesn't mean the Dolphins made a bad decision on Tua. There's a bigger picture for Miami. They drafted somebody they knew was coming off an injury that they still believe is going to be a good quarterback, which, by the way, you can't draw a conclusion to say, well, he's not going to be because he's not Burrow or Justin Herbert. Miami was right to make the move that they did because Brian Flores knows his team better than you, better than anybody else does, better than I or whoever. And by the way, it worked. Now, I say it worked because the Dolphins won the game. If Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hit and that ball's intercepted, well, we're viewing it differently. Not that, hey, Fitzpatrick did a good job sparking the team. They would have lost, but they won. So therefore, it gets magnified. The Dolphins should bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2021 because it's the role that he'll still need to play as they make that transition to Tua. Next quarterback, Tom Brady. The Bucs destroy the Detroit Lions, 47-7. Okay, Lions were, Matthew Stafford hurts his ankle. The Lions are down half their coaching staff. It's a disaster, okay? Three weeks ago, everybody is just ripping Tom Brady, ripping Bruce Arians. They don't get along. Can Bruce Arians come back? Should he retire? He was burnt out before. Is he ready to do this again? Tom Brady can't throw the deep ball. It's all this. Listen, if the Bucs beat the Falcons, they're 11-5. They're going to the playoffs, win or lose against the Falcons. Now, they'll likely lose if the scenario we need to happen Sunday takes place for the playoffs, but that's okay. That'd be at the Giants. You go back to the Bucs when the season ended last year with Jameis Winston and 30 interceptions and the Brady signing, which I said, listen, business-wise, it's brilliant. It makes the Bucs relevant. Is Tom Brady the same quarterback at 43 that he was at 33? Of course not. But despite everybody breaking down Tom Brady's struggles over the last month plus, the numbers sometimes don't lie, okay? Tom Brady in 2020, Tom Brady in 2020 is completing 66% of his passes. Let me give you Tom Brady's numbers from 2019, 2018, going back. 61, 66, 66, 67, 64, 64, 60. That goes back to 2013. Tom Brady's thrown for over 4,200 yards. Let's give him 250. Or let's give him nothing. Let's say the Bucs don't play him this coming Sunday. Here's Brady's recent years. 40-57, 43-55, 45-70-70. He led the league in 2017. 35-54, 47-70. Touchdowns, 36 this year. Last few years, 24, 29, 32, 28. Yeah, he's got 11 picks. The last few years, 8, 11, 8. He threw two in that incredible 2016 season. But the numbers and, say, Brady's inability to throw in the deep ball. Listen, I would agree that Tom Brady is not the best at throwing the deep ball. The Bucs didn't sign Tom Brady, really, to throw the deep ball. They knew they weren't going to get an arm at 33. Yeah, but he got all these great receivers. You knew what you were getting. Tom Brady's yards attempt, 7.4. Let me give you Brady going back years. 6.6, 7.6, 7.9, 8.2, 7.6, 7.4. You want to compare? I'll give you a comparison. Tom Brady. Scott's going to be good at math even on this one. Scott, average yards attempt, Tom Brady, 7.4. Mm-hmm. 7.4, remember that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I already gave this away because I brought this up with Mike in the bridge. Oh, you think a deep ball, a guy that can fling it downfield, Patrick Mahomes, right? Average yard attempt, 8.1.
Oh, that's right there with what Brady's doing.
7.4 to 8.1. Tom Brady statistically is going to end up with a really good season for the Buccaneers, despite everybody being the armchair quarterback evaluator about he can't do this, he can't. I mean, remember 3 weeks ago, we're like, just... not accurate. That's the numbers. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. The other one is the one that's not even playing in the National Football League. The Jets winning back-to-back games has impacted two quarterbacks in their careers. One is Sam Darnold. Not that the two-game sample size for the Jets makes not just Jet fans, but the decision makers for the Jets, whatever group that may be, go, well, that certainly proves that we have the right guy. But Darnold's performance in the last couple of weeks with the Jet wins, giving the Jaguars their number one pick, all of a sudden makes the Jets go, okay, so if we have the second pick, we could take, oh, another tackle. This guy, you know, we could take, well, Penny Sewell from Oregon. Oh, we got two good tackles. Now, all of a sudden, you start going, well, we'll build around Darnold, which means the other quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. With the Jags now solidified for the number one pick of the draft, if you believe, and I do think, that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a generational quarterback, providing they build correctly around him. With draft picks stockpiled to a degree like the Dolphins did from a couple years ago, the Jaguars could get better quickly with salary cap space that may be the most in the NFL in the next couple of years. Could truly rebuild in a league where you can get better quickly. But, by himself, no. He needs good pieces around him. But the Jaguars have benefited from where they were a couple of weeks ago, where the thought was the Jets are going to get the number one pick. It benefits them business-wise, like the Bucs benefited by getting Tom Brady. The Jaguars go from irrelevant to, in some ways, must-watch football, if you believe Lawrence is that good. They become irrelevant, no disrespect to Doug Marrone, to, well, who's their head coach, and we'll get to that maybe in a moment, relevant. And the ripple effect business-wise for Sean Conn, the value of his football team goes up a couple $100 million likely with Trevor Lawrence. It helps him when he wants to build onto the stadium that he's got, the community he wants to build. There's a business part to all of it. It's quarterback, 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 man. That's what it is. Scott, did I mention earlier about the Giants, the playoff scenario to get in?
Yes.
Did I mention that?
Yes.
That you know, we're
they need this and they need that.
We're right there. You know, we're
hosting a playoff game.
We're right there. Yeah.
Hanging a banner.
Listen, you've worked with me long enough. I've always said the stupidity of a format that allows a team to be 6-10 to make the playoffs. I'm still knocking it, but I'm not going to not take it if it happens that way for the Giants. But yeah. just need to beat Dallas and have Philadelphia win. That's it. That's it. And by the way, one more thing on quarterbacks. Speaking of Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts did some really good things yesterday for the Eagles in the game against Dallas. But if you think, well, see, they could put anybody and plug him in there. Also, really, he made two really terrible plays late in the football game that could have got him back into it. Doesn't mean he can't play in the National Football League. And it doesn't mean that if the Eagles can find somebody to take Wentz, it's not a good deal because you'd have Hurts on a rookie contract. But just don't be surprised if Philly doesn't bail on Wentz just yet, although I think they probably are leaning towards it. Although Doug Peterson today said he hadn't committed to a quarterback to start the game against Washington. I don't care who plays, just win. This coach becomes the name again in the news, and why he may indeed find it appealing to try this, and why others may follow him next.